Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ left the land of Gennesaret, that was the region around the Sea of Galilee, up north. And further up north, outside the land of Palestine, would be Tyre and Sidon. This belonged to the region known as the Syro-Phoenician region. What happened in the land of Gennesaret was a very, very sad and disappointed time, because the people who had the word of God, like the Jews, the Pharisees, and sometimes including the disciples and the multitude who follow Christ, they had the word, they had the truth, they had Christ, but they found it so hard to recognize that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, the anointed Savior to a world that was dying in sin. They could not accept him. They found it so hard, even though they had been soaked in the truth, the Word of God. Everything about Israel, ordained by God, from their dressing to their eating, how to spend their week, what are their holy days, how to spend their holy days, such as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Booths, all these were ordained by God. Israel was never given even the slightest opening from God, such as in the time of Joshua. Do you have any contribution to the formation of Israel? Would you like to advise God? None. No one. Everything about Israel as a nation, because it was a national witness, the design must be ordained by God. From the minutest detail to the most significant, such as the tabernacle and the temple, on how Israel ought to be a holy and a spiritual nation. That had been Israel's blessing. That had been Israel's privilege. And so when God sent his son, the best people on earth, of all the nations of the world, that would be able to see Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of God, as the Messiah, it would have been the people of Israel. They had everything. Gentiles, on the other hand, were the opposite. In darkness, rooted in terrible, terrible idolatry, bowing down to objects made of gold and silver by the hands of man. Our culture is also steeped in idolatry, because they originated from idolatry. Everything about the Gentiles, the opposite of Israel. And so when God, the Lord Jesus Christ, ministered in his land, God's land of promise to Israel, it was very sad that they rejected him. Many of them wanted to kill him. They could not see in him what Jesus Christ claimed himself to be, the Son of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to teach the disciples, and to also teach us this afternoon, that it is not because you are surrounded by things Christian, coming to church, brought up in a church where your parents are Christians, they might even be serving fervently and zealously in the church, and then you have been taught the scriptures even before you went to primary school because of your Sunday school system. You probably know many stories about the Bible before you even have read your first primary book. You know about the Lord's Supper. You know about baptism because you have witnessed it. You have seen it in others, but you have not experienced it yourself. But you have been surrounded by a lot of Christian witness, Christian truth, Christian activities, just like the Jews in the time of Christ. And yet, some of us might not even be believers, like the Jews in the time of Christ. Because how you see Christ will make a world of difference. Did they admit that he was Jesus of Nazareth? They never doubted. They knew his home. They knew his parents. They knew his father's trade, which was to be a carpenter. They knew that Jesus Christ also learned the trade of his father. And so he was also known as a carpenter. They never doubted his humanity. They never doubted his existence. even after Jesus Christ did so many miracles, taught so many amazing direct teaching, sometimes in parables, to basically tell them the same message. I am God. What you are seeing in this person called Jesus of Nazareth is the living God incarnate right in your midst, as God had prophesied so many times in your whole Old Testament, your Holy Scriptures. Can you not see? Can you not hear? Let those who have ears open their ears and listen. Let those who have eyes see. That was what Jesus Christ said in verse 16 of Mark 7. Have you forgotten? Did you remember? They just found it so hard. And so Jesus Christ deliberately brought them out of the land of promise into Gentile territory. Verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, whose house we are not told, and we have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Soon the reputation of this very famous Jewish man, Jesus of Nazareth, is now in our territory, and he's in this particular house. And so many people came. But God did not focus on many people, but one. It was a woman. What her name was, not important. Otherwise, God would have introduced her to us. But we were told that she had a very serious dilemma, a serious problem in her life. She had a very young daughter who had an unclean spirit. She was demon-possessed, in other words. And she heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Now, this is significant, because the Bible said that all she had was she heard of Christ. That's it. That means she had not crossed into the territory of the promised land, Israel. She did not see any of the miracles of Christ, but she heard about his miracles. She heard about the amazing things that Jesus Christ did in the land of promise. All she had was hearing, the witness, the testimonies of others. And then she came. No matter what, nothing must prevent her. She came. And then she did something that was very, very strange. She fell at his feet in front of everyone. She was not bothered about the decorum of behavior and protocol. She was not concerned about what other people will think of her. How could you, a woman, just simply prostrate yourself in front of the feet of a total stranger that you've never seen before? But she heard that this man was special. This man could heal. This man is a person who could do miracles. And the woman was a Greek. That's definitely a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him, she begged him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now, what would cause a person to strip herself of all her pride, whereby she doesn't care about what anybody will think about her? She was, in other words, desperate. She was desperate, not so much for herself per se, because she was not sick. But she was so concerned, and she had a desperate concern for someone that she probably loved more than her own life. Her young daughter. Helpless young daughter. And nobody could heal her, definitely. Except what she heard about this man, Jesus of Nazareth. He could. He could. And that's why she came. And that's why she pleaded. And that's why she begged. Desperate. It is very hard for us to turn to Christ if we are not desperate. This is the state and condition of man. And this is what the world has offered us. The world has offered us a very, very appealing and delicious taste. Very appealing to the eyes and to the flesh. And in turn, it has created in us very strong desires that the Bible uses, that the King James translators use another word to describe the desires, and it is called lust. And with our five senses, the sense of taste, the sense of touch, the sense of sight, all these five senses that we have is very much directly related to this material world. And so we want comfort. We do not want this body of ours to feel the slightest discomfort. And therefore, Satan knows this. Satan knows this craving that is in us. And so he will dish it out into our lives because he controls the world. He controls the messages of the world. And so he will tell us how important and needful it is for us to have as much luxury as possible, but it's not free. You've got to pay for it. What kind of payment? Your life. You pay for it with your life. You work hard. You give up your time, your energy, working for these things that will give you a comfortable life. And so, we all enjoy a very comfortable life in Singapore. Our bedrooms, practically, I think all of us have air conditioning to control the climate in this little room, that no matter what the climate may be outside of our little container house or apartment or flat, whatever, wherever you're staying in, we can control this tiny little room's comfortable temperature. You want it colder, you turn it up colder. You want it warmer, you turn it warmer. This will not come free. You go to work for it, you go to pay for it. And then, of course, our taste bud tells us we want to eat the best food, the most delicious. And so I was told by one of our church members that he read in the newspaper that during the Lunar New Year celebration that was just over yesterday, right? Last day. There was a group of mainland Chinese who went to one restaurant in Sentosa and they paid for a meal that cost nearly, what, $250,000. $240,000 dinner. There was a dish that they did not say what the dish was that cost $55,000. Two bottles of wine, $70,000+. Each bottle, 35, I guess. And so total up, about 10 people, 240,000, or 10 or 12 people, $240,000. You divide that by 10, each person will have to pay how much? 24,000 per person. For us, $50 per person, our jaw would drop. Right, $24,000 per person just to eat a meal. That kind of money, just imagine how much you can do with it. $240,000, you can buy how many cars? You can renovate your little room, your little HDB flat how many times? They spend it on a meal. But they must be able to afford it. I'm sure that would be nothing to these people because I don't think they will empty their entire life savings just at one meal unless they've been told by the doctors that tomorrow they're going to die. And so these are the kind of meals that come out in the newspaper. You spend $24 for 10 people dinner, it will not come in the newspaper. These are the kind. And so when you read this, to people of the world, wow, 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 all these will be the reaction. But these are all part and parcel of the whole delusion. So that you and I will not see how desperate we are. Because we are surrounded by a world with health, with wealth, with all the luxury goods in front of us. Why would I need the Savior? Why would I need somebody to help me? I have everything that I could love. And I'm enjoying life. I'm sure this Syrophoenician woman had that experience too. Until the daughter was stricken with demon possession. Then everything in her life changed. Everything changed. Everything that used to be so deliciously comfortable, so delightful, suddenly turned to tastelessness. Everything seems meaningless. Do not know what kind of house she lived in, even if she lived in a big palace. What is the point? What, surrounded by so many servants and all the luxury, when the love of her life, when her heart that she's prepared to die for this young daughter of hers is now demon possessed. Everything now suddenly becomes real. Meaningless. Meaningless. The state of desperation in fact, is a very good condition for us to have. Especially when you do not have Christ. If you think that because you are healthy, you are fine, you are not. If you think that you are wealthy, you are fine, you are not. The world may tell you so. Satan will whisper into your ear, don't listen to God's word. You are really fine. You continue to spend your days and your energy and your time on this earth pursuing after all these money that will give you more luxury. Because that's all that matters, isn't it? That's why people queue long queues, waiting for a long time for them to arrive at this tiny little window to buy those, what, six digit because of the Chinese New Year, what, ang pao, right? $12 million. Correct? $12 million? Or you do not know? Are you sure you do not know? I hope none of you went to queue up because your elder is watching. Do you go? If he goes, you can go, right? You queue up. They say 12 million is good. And so the reporter went there to interview some of the people who queue up. If you get that 12 million, what would you do with it? Oh, they dream on. Oh, I will do this. I will do that. I will buy this. I will buy that. I will put this here. And then some of them will be very noble. I will give some to this charity. I hope you don't queue up to give some to the building fund. God doesn't need this. This is all the lure of the voice of the devil of the world to blind our eyes so that we will not see the desperation that we are in. If you are not a Christian, you die in your sins straight away, you end up in hell. And please don't think that I'm so young you will not die. You can check your birth certificate. Did you find your birth certificate a guarantee 3 score years and 10? There is only a date of your birth. Do you find in it a date of your death? If you can find the date of your death, okay, you will not die guaranteed until 2070, June 29. You have the guarantee? None of us have. If you don't believe, you go and check your birth cert. That's why it's called birth cert. If it's called birth stroke death cert, then you can have. You can check. But the person who give you the birth and death cert, that person is no God. So none of us know whether you're going to live through tomorrow or tonight. So please do not think that because you are healthy, you are young, I'm guaranteed to have 3 score years and 10. I'm going to be like my father, like my mother. I'm going to live to a ripe old age and I'm going to marry, I'm going to have children and so on and so forth. So believing in Christ is something I'm going to wait. Maybe when I'm old and aged, maybe when I know that I'm going to leave this world, then maybe I will consider. God is called God. He is not a slave to you. He is your creator. Whereby He will judge you, not you judging Him. He is offering you His love in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why Jesus Christ deliberately went outside of Israel, hopefully to slap these Israelites into sobriety and to watchfulness. Wake up! A Syrophoenician woman outside of Israel, by only hearing who I am and what I have done, and she understood her desperation. And she believed. That's why she came. But you don't. You had me with you. You had me with you in the promised land, and I did the miracles where you could see the miracles. You could hear me teaching directly. All she had would be the words of others, witnesses, about who I am. And she came. You heard my teaching directly, the Jews. You saw my miracles directly, the Jews. And you turned your back on the love of Christ and the message of Jesus Christ, the only Savior that could save you from sin, from death, and from hell. You and I must realize sincerely with all our heart our desperate situation. I'm sure you read in the papers, because it's in the front page, about the terrible accident in Botanic Garden. A young mother got killed because of a fallen tree. She never expected that when she brought her family with young children to Botanic Garden to have that picnic, enjoyment, that walk. If she had known that if she had entered into the entrance of Botanic Garden, the tree would fall on her. She would never have entered, I'm sure. None of us would. None of us with sound mind would ever do that. But she did not know. I'm sure she had her plans. I'm sure she had her hopes. I'm sure she had all the whole year planned. I'm sure she also planned for the children's future. All these things just simply disappeared from her life in one instant. That's how the newspaper described. She died instantly. That was it. You and I are in a state of desperation. Realize and understand this. Do you want a calamity to come into your life before you realize it? The fact that you are inside a church now, the fact that you are given the word of God now, is that God is talking to you. God is telling you to turn to Him and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Because the Jews, the multitude who came to Christ, sure, those who have sick family members, those who themselves were sick, they came to Christ to be healed. But the majority, the multitude of them, they were just simply curious observers. They just want to see a miracle being performed. Did they have any special calamity that will drive them to desperation? No. Do you want to have that kind of desperation to be created in your life before you realize the seriousness of condition that you are in? I hope not. I hope not. Because God will deal with all of us differently. In the case of this woman, it was through the demon possession of her young daughter that brought her to her knees before Christ. You and I can just simply prostrate ourselves and come before the Lord on our knees because of the sheer word of God, the truth of God, of the word of God that is given to you. That if you and I were to die in our sin right now without Christ, it's all over forever. We are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, a place of great torment and pain. And that's the place where God says, I do not desire to see any one of you end up there. That's why God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Don't wait for some calamity to strike before you realize the desperation. Let the word of God be sufficient. The truth of the word of God be sufficient to cause you to realize the desperate need that you have, the vacuum that is in your soul, the sin that continues to be a master controlling you, giving you all kinds of nightmare. Because you are now the slave to this horrible master called sin, kept on causing you to sin, which resulted in addictions in your life that have been enslaving you, that you find no strength within yourself to get rid of. Could be a computer, could be some terrible lust that is in you, or could even be the pride of life. Whatever it is, only in Christ can you be delivered. Realize this. Realize this. But then the answer of Jesus was amazing, shocking perhaps. She prostrated, she told Christ the condition, she besought Him, she begged Him, and then she told Him, please, cast forth the devil out of my daughter. And Jesus looked at her and said, let the children first be filled. That would be a reference to the Jews. For it is not meet, it is not convenient to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Now, when God sent Jesus Christ onto this earth, just as when God later on sent the great apostle Paul to bring the gospel to Gentile cities, there is a standard operating procedure that Paul had to follow. You must go to the Jews first. And that's why in every new city, he would go to the synagogue. And that's where he will offer the Jews the gospel. There was one occasion after Paul had been doing this, he was so fed up and angry with the Jews who kept on rejecting the gospel and kept on attacking him. He said to them in no uncertain terms, I'm not going to go to you Jews anymore. I'm going to go to the Gentiles only. And then the Lord had to appear to him in a vision and to tell him, Paul, you cannot do that. You must keep on going to the Jews, no matter how they react and respond to the gospel message that you bring to them. This is God's standard operating procedure. Give to the Jews first. Give to the Jews first. Give to the Jews first. They are my people. They are the people through whom the Messiah had his nationality. They were my witnesses throughout the Old Testament period. Go to my people. And that's why Paul continued to go. Even though he said those strong words, you find it in the book of Acts. And likewise for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ seldom will leave the border of the land of promise. This would be one of the few rare occasions. And it was for the purpose of teaching the Jews. It was a very harsh lesson for them to learn. You have me with you. You have seen me. You have heard my teaching. And here you have a Gentile woman who has never heard of any of my teaching. You have seen it and heard it directly from my mouth. She only heard it from a third party. And look at her faith. Look at her. And that's why Jesus Christ deliberately said these words to her, to test her. To test her, to let her see for her own self. Because Jesus Christ knew that he would heal the daughter. Jesus Christ is God. He doesn't need all these things, but the woman needed it. The woman needed to know in her own heart, and she had to hear her own voice. The words that Jesus Christ will want her to speak out. And that's why Jesus Christ purposely said to her, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." Jesus Christ purposely called her the dogs. The Gentiles are dogs because that's how the Jews regarded Gentiles in those days. Dogs. The reject. Of course, this dog here refers to puppy dogs. But nevertheless, it is still dogs, which would mean unclean. Outcasts. I did not come directly to save you. Basically, that's the message of Christ. How can I take the bread that God had given to me to give to the children of God, the people of Israel? You are not that people. You are an outcast. You are dogs. You are part of the outcast. How can I give the bread that God had given to me to give to the Jews? How can I give it to you? Does it mean that Jesus Christ never intended to save her? No. Because God has a plan. You know that when God gave to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, the blueprint for the spread of the gospel, it must start with Jerusalem, that means the Jews at Pentecost. And then for a season, you must only preach to the Jews. That's why Judea, only the Jews. And then later on, God himself will tell the disciples when to enlarge it to the next circle, the Samaritan circle. And through persecution, Philip was sent out of Jerusalem to Samaria, and then he preached the gospel, and then once there were believers, people who wanted to accept, then God sent Peter and John to confirm, and then their salvation was withheld for a season until John and Peter were there, and then when they said that yes, they really want to believe, lay hands on them, and the Spirit of God came into them. So they were not saved during Philip's ministry, only when John and Peter were there, then they had it. And then the final circle would be to the uttermost part of the world. And so the first Gentile families to be saved after the formation of the local church was Cornelius and his family in Acts chapter 10. And that was by two visions. One vision that God had to appeal to Peter to tell him to go, and then to appear to Cornelius to tell him to send his servant to call Peter. So God prepared everyone in order to bring salvation to Cornelius and his family. So there was this blueprint of protocol, the sequence of people that God himself had specified very clearly. You cannot switch it around. You cannot tamper with it. God himself has given you the approach. You just comply and follow obediently. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part. You don't go and flip it around. Jerusalem, then uttermost part, and then Judea, and then Samaria. Oh, you cannot do that. That would be disobedience. And likewise, that was the reason why Jesus Christ said these words. Not that he did not want to save her. There is the protocol, the standard operating procedure that the Father in heaven has in the distribution of the gospel. When the Apostle Paul later on, even among the Gentiles, he wanted to go east, that means toward India and China and so on. The vision came to him, no, you go where? So God also controlled the spread of the gospel through the Gentiles, within the Gentiles. because after Cornelius, everywhere would be primarily Gentiles. Turkey, and then cross the Aegean Sea. That's where God wanted Paul to go. Go west, not east. And so he crossed over, and so we have the New Testament books all named after Western cities like Colossae, Thessalonica, Corinth, Philippi. All these are Western European cities. And then from that point onwards, you study church history. It spread throughout Europe. And then from Europe, it crossed the English Channel. And then it crossed the ocean into America. And then because of the British Empire, the gospel spread to the rest of the world. And then it continued to spread till today. All these are planned by God. God had a hand in the spread of the gospel to the rest of the world. And likewise, when Jesus Christ came, he came to give the word to the Jews because they would be the best people to receive. Remember, the Jews had everything ordained by God in their culture, in their religion, in their life. And so they would be the best people to accept. And the tragic reality was they rejected. And that's why Jesus Christ did this. And the disciples were there to witness, to hear what Jesus Christ said to this Syrophoenician woman. You are dogs. We have nothing to do with you. How can I take the bread and give it to them? Did she complain? No. That Jesus Christ called her dogs? A person who is in desperate need would not complain, especially when it comes to the truth. Because that was exactly what she was, an outcast. She realized that. She never complained. Would you be hurt and angry if someone were to give you the gospel and begins by telling you that you are a sinner, that you are a depraved sinner, bound for hell if you were to die in sin? Would you be insulted? Would you be hurt? If you are not in the state and condition that she was in, desperation, I'm sure you will be hurt. I was. When my sister shared the gospel with us during dinner time, I told you before, I told her to shut up. You don't talk about this nonsense in our midst. You want to eat with us. And she was 1 year older than me, my older sister. I was hurt because she told us that we were sinners. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. It's very offensive to be told that we are sinners. It's very offensive to be called a dog, an unclean outcast. But what if it's true? What if it is real? Would your pride stand in the way that you will not receive the truth? Because if these words are man's word, fine, you can reject all you want and there will be no consequence. Because it's man's word, what can he do to you? But if what he speaks, it may be his voice. But if what he speaks is not his own opinion, it's not his word, but if it comes from my creator, the God who made heaven and earth, and then I just simply reacted in insult and anger, I'm not reacting in insult and anger toward this person, but God. Even though God loved me enough to tell me the truth, to tell me the truth about the state and condition that I am in, that I am a dog. It's true, I'm a dog. We are outcasts. We are unclean because we are dogs. We are outcasts. We are unclean from the kingdom of heaven. May not be in our society, may not be in our family, but as far as God is concerned, we are indeed outcasts and unclean. We can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Would you be hurt if somebody tells you the truth? If the doctor tells you that you have 6 more months to live after the diagnosis? Or you'd rather him tell you a lie? Or you actually don't have 6 months to live? It's only a common flu. You'll be fine. But then you're not getting better. After 2 months, 3 months, because he told you that it was the flu. No treatment was given to deal with that cancer. Only flu medicine. And so after the flu medicine, the antibiotics, you get from bad to worse. And then now when you are told the truth with 1 more month to live, it's too late. The doctor says, if you had started treatment 6 months ago, you will probably recover and live. But because the doctor says to you, you have flu. You have the flu, and therefore the whole treatment had been just treating the flu, which was not even in your body. You don't have flu. You have cancer, but it's too late. How would you feel? How would you feel about the first doctor who lied to you? But he wants to be nice to you. He doesn't want to get you angry. And so he withheld the truth about your condition from you because he cares for you. Would you be upset with him? I'm sure you would. I'm sure your husband would, your wife would, especially your two children, young children. Mommy could have healed, could have recovered if the doctor had told us the truth about her cancer. And now, Mommy had only one more month to live, and that's it. And there's nothing anybody can do now but to wait for her to die. You get upset and angry? You will be more upset and angry when someone tells you that you are now in hell. That person could have given you the gospel. You know that colleague of yours? He is a Christian. He could have given you the gospel, but he doesn't want to offend you because the gospel means he has to tell you that you are a terrible sinner. And so therefore he wants to be nice to you. He wants to maintain some semblance of friendship with you. And that's why he dare not tell you the gospel, dare not tell you that you are a sinner bound for hell. And so he kept his mouth shut. And now that you are in hell, how would you feel about this colleague of yours? All he needed to do was to tell you the gospel, which means tell him that you are a sinner, undone, depraved. If you die in your sin, you will end up in hell. You are an outcast, an unclean person as far as God is concerned. You are a dog. It will be insulting, it will be hurtful. But if it is the truth. And then it did not stop there. He can help you get out of it too. He can get you out of this condition of being an outcast, an unclean person, into someone who is a child of God, a family of God, and no longer an outcast. To tell you you have cancer without treatment, or to tell you cancer with treatment. It was a cancer with treatment, but he withheld because he doesn't want to hurt you. This woman in desperation, this woman now under testing. You watch her reply. And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord." She agreed. "Yes, I am a dog. I am a dog. I'm unclean. I'm an outcast. I know I don't deserve to come near to you. I know I don't have the right to make this request. I am an outcast. You are right." Those two important words. "Yes, Lord." Will you say that this afternoon? If you are not born again in Christ, will you say to God who now calls you a dog, an outcast and unclean, would you say to him, "Yes, Lord"? Don't fight him anymore. Don't hold on to your pride. All your titles and accolades in the world that man gives to you, all the titles that you have after your name because of the education that you have, all these are nothing. They will not be useful in entering heaven. They are useless. They may be useful in the world to open doors in companies for you to have a good job and a good promotion. But in the realm of the spiritual, in the realm of heaven and hell, they are utterly, completely worthless and useless. Say to the Lord, "Yes, Lord." Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. That was her faith. She understood. "Do you not have a little bit of blessing for me? Do you not have a little bit? Yes, I know you came to save the Jews. I'm not taking their salvation away from them. But even the crumbs that fall on the table, can you have a little bit for me? Even though it may not be your time. You are here to send, God has sent you to the Jews. But do you not have a little bit of salvation, grace and blessing for me? I know I'm a dog. Save my daughter. Save my daughter. Save me." There was her cry. She passed the test because she was humbled. And so Jesus said to her, "For this saying," what saying? "Yes, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." Instantaneously, because when she arrived home, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Jesus Christ had the power to even cure the worst condition that man could ever be in. Snared by the devil. You and I live in this world, we are snared by the devil. It may not be demon possession per se. But if you subscribe to the philosophies of the world, you are snared by the devil. You have been deluded by the lies of the devil through the education we have in the world, through the voices that we keep on hearing through the television, the radio, keep on being bombarded by the messages in writing through the internet that this is life, this is life, this is success, this is life, this is success. More and more money, more and more material things. Surround yourself with more and more of them. They won't tell you the truth. They won't tell you that naked you came into this world, naked you're going to leave this world. They're not going to tell the truth. That at the end of your life, you're not going to get anything and take anything with you. So why are you spending the best years of your life, your energy and your time, pursuing after some things that are worthless and useless when you die? The world will not tell you the truth, but God would. God would. God would tell us, each and every one of us, that we are in a desperate state, a condition, that we are dogs, we are outcasts, all of us unclean. Will you humble yourself like this woman? You have not seen Christ. We never will. He is ascended into heaven, finished his work. Just like this Syrophoenician woman, she had not seen, but she has heard. Just like you and I have heard through reading the Bible. We have heard about Christ. When you read, you are hearing about Christ, not by sight, but by faith. She believed. That's all she needed. She heard, she believed, she went. She was saved. Will you? Will you say to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog. But even the dogs will eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table." The gospel of Jesus Christ given to you and to me. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, save me, O Lord, from sin, from death, and from hell. Open our eyes that we may see. Help us to realize, O Lord, that we are not Christians because we are surrounded by Christian activities, by Christian people. We are not saved by coming to church. We are not saved by singing hymns and giving our tithe and offering. We are not saved by taking the Lord's Supper or being baptized. We are not saved by teaching in Sunday school or even preaching the word from the pulpit. We are only saved by truly believing and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead for our justification before Thee. We pray, O Lord, that none of us here may turn our backs on Christ, but that we will humble ourselves because we are truly in a state of great desperation as outcasts and unclean people, having no right to even see the kingdom of heaven and not to talk about entering the kingdom of heaven. Save us, wash us of all our sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in all humility, let us all prostrate ourselves before Thee and truly come to Thee and accept Jesus Christ with all our heart as our Lord and as our Savior. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.